Today on Real Life Radio.
When I look and think of the attributes of what God has engineered into the Christian woman, there are so many attributes of Christ that we as men, and it ought to be this way, look at a Christian woman and say, you know what? I need to be more like that.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
The book Eclipse of God by Dr. Erwin Lutzer is, quite frankly, the smelling salts that the church needs to smell today, to wake up, to get out of the apathy and lethargy that has been brought to us by really a woke ideology and a very wrong view of God, that God is somehow cool, God is somehow okay with whatever we decide to do, he's just going to get behind it. No, it's not true, my friend. The eclipse of God, we do wrong when we try to make our God an inclusive, all-available deity to anything that we want to do. This is a book about truth. It is powerfully written, of course powerfully written, by the best-selling author, Erwin Lutzer. Get your copy today. I promise you, it is a wake-up call.
The Eclipse of God by Erwin Lutzer is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Life and Bible, with the message titled, Being a Christian While Being a Woman. Throughout history, women were oftentimes considered to be as property, or one who is beneath her husband. But the Bible tells us that women hold a high place in creation. You see, as we look at the Christian woman, she's unlike any other woman on earth. She's a woman who has a unique character value in that she has a keen ability to feel God. The Christian woman is often the pillar of the church and also holds very special influence over others. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that a Christian woman has a depth of passion that is nothing less than remarkable. She's full of life because only a Christian woman can truly know who she is in Christ. It's in her heart to bring peace and rest to those around her. And her love for serving others, it's just what we need here in this world. Now with his message called Being a Christian While Being a Woman, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
If women in some cult or religion that you are in are some second-rate people, that's not what the Bible teaches. If you've been brought up into some belief that you somehow have no say, you have no input, that you are subservient and some sort of thing like property, that is anti-God. And I see far too many young people settling for that. Number seven. A woman holds a unique depth of passion. I don't need to explain that. I think about Mary, as I read a moment ago in Luke. Elizabeth, the Samaritan woman. She's fun. You ever read about her? You've read about her, right? In John's Gospel, chapter 4. The Samaritan woman. She's a feisty thing. She's there getting water in the middle of the day. I think you've already heard the story when we were in the Gospel of John. She wasn't supposed to be there while the other women went. So she had to go in the middle of the day because she was a very loose girl. And she was not to associate with the other women, so she goes in the middle of the day. Jesus is at the well. Jesus sees her. Now, a monk would have ran for the hills because he got near a loose girl. What does Jesus do? He says, hey, woman, can I have some water? He's got a whole plan. Hey, girl, can I have some water? Why do you ask me for some water when I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew? She starts flirting with him. She doesn't know who he is. No, I'm serious. She doesn't know who he is. Why do you ask me for some water? You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. And he begins to answer her heart. And then he says, you know, I have water to give that if you drink of it, you'll never be thirsty again. And she goes, well, then give me some of that water. And he said, I tell you what, why don't you go get your husband and bring him here? And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And he goes, that's right. You've had, what is it, 4 or 5 husbands? And the man, how many? Five. And he says, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. And she says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet of God. Isn't that amazing? And what happens? She winds up coming to know the Lord. Any culture without God, she would have been beaten with a stick or beheaded or whipped. What does the God of the universe do? Issues her forgiveness and gives her a brand new life. A woman caught in the act of adultery. What does Jesus do? And by the way, it was amazing. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Whoever wants to stone her, if you're sinless, go ahead, let it rip. Come on. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Whatever those guys' names were. Hey, Bill. Yeah, you Pharisees. Fred. There's some big rocks here. Pick them up. Come on. I haven't seen a good stone in a whole week. Let it go. There she is. There you are. He who is without sin, throw the first stone. Can you imagine that? Now, who could have thrown in that entire group the first stone? Only Jesus. He didn't apparently even pick one up. Rather, who did he pick up but the woman? He said, woman, where are your accusers? She looked around because they all took off. She says, well, I don't think I have any accusers. And he said, the God of the universe standing in front of her in human skin, he says, neither do I condemn you. Go. And what he said was, sin no more, meaning forsake that lifestyle you're in, girl. Go and live for God now. Do you know him like this? Have you come in here tonight and you've got all your past, young lady, middle-aged lady, older lady, you got all your past weighing you down. There's just hurdles you can't get over, no matter what they might be. Sinful conduct, maybe it's regret and remorse, I don't know. He wants to make you brand new. And that creates a depth of passion in your heart that no man can take away. The Bible says, in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Isn't that cool? Think of that. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one, equal, the same. Hello, everyone. Equal, the same. In Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Ladies, did you hear that? This is the Bible, not our culture speaking to you. I believe that the Bible teaches that women hold a unique place in the heart and mind of God. It's very powerful. Number 8, a woman holds a unique, reconcilable attribute. What do I mean by that? Reconcilable attribute. From the earliest ages of a young little kiddo, girl, a female seems to have it imprinted upon their heart and their eyes and their minds and how they perceive things. In the sense of this, that they want a peace. Now, some of you, I don't know, all of you in this room tonight, some of you may, you just came from college today and you were taught some stuff in your little psychology class. And now the big debate is, are men and women different at all? Are they even different at all? First of all, the question should be, who asked that question? We need to study that brain, put it in a pickle jar and check it out and see how it works. Are men and women different? Men, I don't know how different a male and female could be. Absolutely different. They're the same value before God, but absolutely different in this sense, from the earliest moments. And of course, this is what you and I as mere humans can understand, right? But those of you, I love how many experts we have, by the way, regarding child rearing who have never had a kid. I mean, it's just hilarious. Well, you know what I think that should be done with children? Well, before you tell me that, how many kids do you have? Well, I mean, I've read about kids. Get out of here. Oh, man. They're different. And I mean, before they come out, they're different. You can watch now through technology. You've got two twins in the womb, two guys in the womb, and they're kicking each other. And then you've got two little girls in the womb, and they're all... It's absolutely... You can observe it. And then they come out, and they're different. It's supposed to be that way. And God celebrates that differentness that He's engineered. By the way, if you have a young kid, you have little kids, boys, will you let them get dirty? Listen, single moms, this is a very sad thing. Single moms who've been abandoned by the father, by the husband, and the little boy doesn't have much daddy time. Listen, mom, take it. Listen, I'm telling you right now. You got to let that little guy get absolutely messed up. Go dig a hole in the backyard, put some water in it, and throw his lunch in there. I am dead serious. He has got to get dirty. And to some degree, you know what? A little girl ought to get dirty too. And then it's okay. It's okay to expose that little guy to nicer things. That's fine. But when you, listen, a human being is amazing. They are, by DNA, programmed a certain way. We are made a certain way, okay? And then when we come out, by the way, Adolf Hitler knew this and tried to override one over the other, and that was you can control a person completely by purging the race of humanity and creating a perfect Aryan people. It's all DNA. It's all DNA, Hitler believed. Just get all of the non-white races off the planet, and Hitler thought he could create a utopia on Earth. Okay? Hitler was right and wrong at the same time. And then you have a lunatic come on the scene like Stalin, who said, we don't care about their DNA. Control their environment. Communize everything. Socialize it. Everyone's the same. That same is. They're all down there in the scum somewhere. They're all nothing. There is no God. They're just a bunch of numbers. And when you control them that way, you got them. Listen, in true humanity, there's a DNA print upon us, and then there's learned response behavior that you and I gather from our environment. And our environment puts stamps as we are growing up. And listen, the Bible says to know your kid and to nurture them in the way that they should go. You have a boy. Boys naturally, by the way, this is true. Are you guys awake? This is true. When there's an explosion, when a balloon blows up, when there's fire, when there's a crash, when there's catastrophe, guess what happens? From the earliest ages, the little girl will grab her dolly, embrace it, and turn away from the crash. And she starts talking to her dolly, and she starts telling her dolly it's going to be okay. Do you know who put that in there? God put that in there. Unless you go to some college and they'll tell you no. God put that in there. And the same age little boy, 4 years old, what does he do? And he runs to it. It's true. It's true. And then you have little girls putting on mommy's high heels and mommy's dress and walking around the house acting like a grown-up. What do guys do? They dress up like army guys or like contractors, or they start building stuff or cutting trees down or painting the windows on your house black. That's what guys do. There's a difference.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
A woman has the desire and the ability to be a peacemaker, much more than a guy does. A woman desires, to be a peacemaker. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21, that God has put it in the life of the believer to make reconciliation with other people. Did you know that? All of us, male, female alike. Are you a Christian? God has put a desire in your heart to reconcile with other people. No one does that better than females. Guys are funny. If we're upset with somebody, hey, what was that? I'm sorry, did I upset you? Yeah, you did. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, let's go get something to eat. It's over. And we're not even sure what we were just talking about. Doesn't matter. Women, did you get, and let me write you a note. And then I wrote you a note. And here's my second note to the first one. And then their whole makeup process is sure, it's firm, it's confirmed. It's amazing. God has engineered women. And we need, listen, we need godly women in this world. We need women who know who they are in Christ. Number 9, a woman holds a unique ingenuity to serve. I don't need to belabor this. Women are amazing at serving the Lord by serving other people. We saw it all weekend long at the conference. Women love to serve. They just jump right at it. You know what? I see a lot of things. Those who work for me here at the church, my family, I see everything. And I don't often mention things, but if there's a light bulb burned out, I can see it a mile away. It's a terrible disease I have. If there's a frame crooked on the wall, I can spot it 100 feet away. Drives me nuts. I was at my doctor's office recently, and I was fixing his frames in the waiting room. I guess that's the female side of me or something. I don't know. You'll see stuff, and so amazing, women in the heart of servanthood, getting things done, taking care of things, straightening things out. I think it's awesome. I think God's in all that. The Bible tells us, by the way, that there was a woman servant by the name of Deborah in Judges chapter 4. She's cool. She's a judge in Israel, Deborah. She's a gnarly, gnarly girl. In Barak, he's all upset. He's going, you know, the enemy's going to kill us. And she goes, well, why don't you go do something about it? She goes, why don't you man up and go beat him? Go beat the enemy up. Well, I don't think they're bigger than us and all this stuff. And she's basically, she goes, what do you want me to do about it? You want me to go to battle with you? Would you? And she said, okay, Barak, check it out. If we go to battle and Israel wins, it's going to be said that a woman got all the glory. Are you willing? Are you able to live with that? I think she was trying to talk him out of it. I think she was trying to tell him, you go fight this thing. I'm a girl. I sit under the tree of Deborah, it was called, and I judge Israel. She goes to battle, whips those guys. That's an amazing kind of girl. She's serving in all capacities, this one. Number 10, we end with this. A woman holds a unique design to nurture. This is awesome. Nurture. A woman nurtures. Nurtures friendships, nurtures family, nurtures people around them. School teachers, if that's a Christian woman, she's going to be a nurturer. She's one in the home. And I'm going to freak you out right now. This is an awesome verse. Very, very rarely ever mentioned. It's Revelation. You ought to mark it down. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 says, then John turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one stood as the Son of Man. He's talking about Christ. Clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like wool, white wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass. And as refined in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and with his countenance it was like the sun shining in its full strength. And did you hear the word? Across his chest, there's that golden band. You see, so it's the big deal. Incredibly unique in Scripture. It's a description of Jesus. And here he is. Don't you think that's a pretty terrifying picture? He's standing there, and across his chest, and instead of the Holy Spirit using the normal word for a man's chest, the Holy Spirit uses the word for a woman's breast. And he said, "What? That freaked me out. You're freaking me out." No, 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 listen. Across his chest is a golden band. The word implies that across his chest not being a female chest, but the chest, the word used, means a place of nurturing. I'll read it to you exactly. A place of peace, rest, comfort is the root word regarding the female breast, a place of nurturing. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and his very heart is to nurture. Isn't that awesome? And when I look and think of the attributes of what God has engineered into the Christian woman, there are so many attributes of Christ that we as men, and it ought to be this way, look at a Christian woman and say, you know what? I need to be more like that. I need to be more like that. I'm going to ask all the ladies to stand right now, if you would. We want to pray for you, but just stand right now, if you would, as we end. Men, remain seated. Let's pray for them. Father, we thank you for these women who are standing here right now. And I'm asking, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that for these who are here, that your Holy Spirit would come upon them and galvanize them into this world with incredible faith. Encourage them, Lord, the way only you can. Answer their fears. Fill the void of brokenness. Remove any desire or any pursuit to be accepted by anyone else on this planet, but you and you only. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that if there's any woman standing here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior personally, that has missed even her own value through Christ, her Creator, that right now, right where she's at, she would say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, make me your daughter, take me off the path of hell and on the road to heaven. Let me know you, O Lord our God." And may all of you standing tonight be completely and absolutely overwhelmed with what your God is about to do from this moment on in your life. In Jesus' name, and all of us said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Being a Christian While Being a Woman. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible. It's a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in everyday challenges of the Christian life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Pastor Jack, I don't mind telling you, I'm happy with the results of the election.
Yeah.
With the guy that I voted for won.
Yeah. I'm going to be more happy.
Yeah.
When I see results regarding the big issues of what's going on, the Ukraine issue, the Israeli issue, the Islamic terrorist issues, the financial issues. Of course, we cannot forget, living here in Southern California, the danger of the border crisis. So I am, look, it could have gone really bad.
Yeah.
And God was merciful to us. And now we need to, in fact, for all of us as Americans, we need to roll up our sleeves and get involved in our communities to make them safer for our kids. And always trust in the Lord and not any politician. And if Trump continues on what he left us in the previous 4 years, that's a great thing.
That's
a great thing.
How do you think Israel's going to play out with Trump in office now?
I think Israel's going to do just fine.
Right.
First of all, Israel's always going to do just fine in the end because God says so. But
I figured you'd say that.
I think that, you know, you're talking about a man who loves Israel.
Yeah.
He's got family members who are Jewish. He is the only president in human history that moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. The Israelis love him. And he's vowed to always give Israel what they need to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And in that neighborhood, you need a lot to survive because you're surrounded by a bunch of nations who cannot eat, sleep, or drink without thinking about your annihilation.
Yeah, they want you gone.
So this is the mercy of God for a season.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.